2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Toad into DFS pros.
Irishmen out there, this is the NBA Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Promo code podcast gets you 10% off each month of your subscription. Once again, DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast for 10% off. I'm your host, Sal Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find Shy Moshe there at Mr. Bear here. So happy St. Patty's Day to you, Mr. Bear. I know you're not an Irishman, but you can celebrate the day with me anytime, anywhere. You know, it's hysterical. So yesterday we were talking about, all right, everybody's brackets are done. Everybody stop paying attention to college basketball. And then lo and behold, we have a historic night in the tournament last night. University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I mean, you know, I don't know what the student body's looking like there, but they pull off the upset over the number one seed in the entire tournament last night. Not only in a squeak by victory, but winning by 20 points. That was pretty awesome. Were you watching that game last night?
No, I didn't. I wasn't.
The 16 beating the one seed is always something I wanted to see in my lifetime. Definitely glad that I got to saw it, But you know, once people started talking about it yesterday, like, of course I wasn't watching that game to begin with. But anytime somebody says during the tournament, "Hey, 16, they're kind of right there with the number one seed," I immediately get intrigued. But
yeah, for sure,
just a really cool night out there in the NBA tonight. Very interesting. We got a lot of injury situations already to take a look at. Dallas coming to my neck of the woods to face the Brooklyn Nets this evening, but they're going to be out without a lot of different people. Salah Mejri out, Dorian Finney-Smith out, Harrison Barnes out, JJ Barea doubtful. Not going to have too many guys there for the Mavs in that rotation, so we're going to have to look at that when we break down these guys. And then the Cleveland Cavaliers also going to be without a lot of guys tonight. Just looking down the list, Rodney Hood, Kyle Korver, Larry Nance, Jetty Osman, Tristan Thompson, and Kevin Love all going to be out tonight. I mentioned one guy on here that sparked some interest with you, but his name wasn't LeBron James either. That sparks interest everywhere. So we've got that. And then a new situation here in Indiana where we knew that Miles Turner was questionable for tonight. We knew this last night, but this is just some news that came down the pipeline. But Thad Young questionable tonight with some sort of illness. So that's a situation that we're going to have to look into as well. Lots of games on this slate. Lots to get to. Anything you wanted to bring to the forefront before we got going?
Yeah, Dante Cunningham is out. Concussion. Alan Crabb is doubtful now, so there's more Brooklyn value. I mean, there is so much value right now, I don't even know where to begin. I think you could probably get in anybody you want and just surround them with value. It's just going to be a matter of two things, which of the studs you pick correctly and which of the value is correct. I don't think there's going to be a lot of balance today because of all the minutes up situations, so it's going to be a good one.
Yeah, this could actually, you know, I was toying around with the idea last night. Now, on the late slate, I know a lot of people were complaining about having like $5,000-$6,000 left to play with. But I was even thinking about it on the main slate because, you know, once Van Vliet was, you know, not in the starting lineup, but once we knew that Lowry was going to be out, we knew he was going to have a better situation. And then, you know, to pair that with like a Russell Westbrook, that sounded like a pretty damn good idea. And then, you know, OKC played the Clippers, and it wasn't.
Yeah, it kind of sucked. Also, my boy Gary Harris is out as well.
Yes, just saw that.
Which is a little bit alarming because it's right knee soreness. And I know that he went out a little bit. I think he went down during the game. But the good thing is they play Memphis. So, you know, I'm not sure if I can roster 9 Will Bartons, but if I can, I will.
In looking at the Vegas aspect of this today. Now, one team I know I'm going to avoid. I'm pretty sure you're going to be right in tow with me here, but the Sacramento Kings. Not a lot of interest here. For one, they're playing on the back end of a back-to-back going into Utah tonight. So that's already bad. Utah, second highest elevation city in the NBA. So we've got that. Now, this is also their third game in 4 days, fourth game in 6 days, fifth game in 7 days. Yikes. I have not looked at the Sherry Ma thing, but it would not surprise me to see them on that list. So in addition, we already know that the Kings have already given up on the season. They got a lot of vets that could possibly sit tonight. Might not even get that news before lineup lock at 7 o'clock tonight. Right. So for me, they're just like, I'm not talking about a King for the rest of this podcast. That's it, unless we're picking on them. But that's it.
Interesting. I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I don't disagree. But I think there are some guys that haven't played that once the game gets out of hand, because the game's going to get out of hand in the first quarter. Believe me, man. No, I mean, there's no question. Like Utah, as good as Utah has been, Utah is getting better. And they're not fun to watch better because they're just a very slow the game down. There's not a single guy. I mean, Rubio and Mitchell and Ingles and Favors and Gobert. There's not a single guy in their on their starting unit or even their rotation that is not a pain in the butt when he's guarding you. I mean, they're just the entire team swarms, and you focus, you've got a team that comes in that's not very good to begin with. And like you said, they just played last night. They won coming off of probably a pretty emotional game. I caught the end of that game and they were really, really excited. The Sacramento Twitter account was going on off saying, you know, the only team to sweep the Warriors in Oracle. I'm like, dude, you played their G League team. Let's not get excited. But yeah, they were excited about it. But so, you know, this is a big time letdown game. Like the other night when we saw Phoenix get destroyed by Utah by like 40, this one might beat that one. So why do I bring that up? Because there are going to be some guys that don't usually play a ton. One in particular that I'm really, really, really looking at deeply as a sleeper. And guess where I'm going to share that?
Where?
In the Slack chat only.
Oh, look at that. Look at that. Interesting situation too that we've got here, with the Nets. Now, Dante Cunningham going to be out. You mentioned this already, but, and then Crabbed Apple too, but also, this was kind of weird. So Caris LeVert actually hurt his knee there in the last minute. Nothing really came out about it. And I didn't check after the game to see what was going on with him, but he's not listed on the injury report today. But I will say, I'm gonna be cautious with Mr. LeVert today, because I know that the Nets have done this on the back end of a back-to-back with LeVert in the past. He had two really bad season-ending injuries in college. So, yeah. You know, in a meaningless game, I do wonder what how they're going to handle that. The fact that he's not listed on the injury report, that's good. But, I mean, I know for a fact he hurt his knee that last minute and it didn't look all that great. He had to come out of the game. So, again, just something to be cautious about today. Okay, position by position, pod is now. Very excited about this. All right, so at the point guard position, you do got Dame Lillard there at the top. Now, Detroit has allowed the fifth most fantasy points to point guards over the last month. You know, we know Dame being on one of the better hot streaks in the NBA right now. You feel like you need to pay all this money, or, you know, is the best value at the point guard position?
I mean, you've got James Harden and LeBron James and Anthony Davis on the slate. Dame is just under 10K. Like you said, there's a boatload of value. By the way, Rubio is also questionable. So, and for those of you that didn't see it, he was basically involved in a WrestleMania event, versus, Jared Dudley and Marquise Chris, and he got clotheslined. It was pretty bad.
Were there any sleeper holds in this altercation?
No, but he threw him off the ropes and clotheslined him.
Okay. I'm always down with that.
And then Phoenix security jumped in, and it was bad. If you didn't see it, go check. It was really bad. I didn't like it at all. And so he's probably going to sit. He's probably more shook than anything than injured, but and I'm shocked we haven't heard that Chris has been suspended yet. He's going to get at least 3 games.
Wow.
At least 3. He deserves 5, but he's going to get at least 3 games. It wasn't something where something happened and it altercated. It was nothing. Rubio was bring the ball off the court. Jared Dudley is a slower guy now. He's not an athlete anymore. And he couldn't reach Rubio and he checked him in order for him not to beat him. And he hockey checked him and he fell. And then Rubio got up like, what is that all about? And Marquise Chris saw him getting up and came flying a la Jermaine O'Neal at the mouth at the Palace and ran at him and just boom, like ran right into him and he dropped him again.
Do you know what you're describing right there? Since it's St. Paddy's Day, that reminds me of like so many barroom brawls I've had on like St. Paddy's Day. That's exactly what the scene looks like on March 17th in the New Jersey, New York area. Oh yeah,
and that's in our NBA. So anyway, so I think Rubio is not going to play in this. Even more that opens up there. So
sure.
I think there might be some merit to, because of all the value, if you go into a larger tournament, you're probably going to get Dame at like under 10%, which doesn't happen very often.
Oh no.
He's
been a chalky fella lately.
He has. And you can get the ultimate chalky guy at under 10% now because of all the other plays. Maybe I could see it, you know, hope Anthony Davis doesn't put up like 95.
All right. So I can kind of tell in your voice, Lillard is not where you're starting here at the point guard position. The people need to know, Bear, where are you starting here?
I'm going to Cameron Payne.
All right.
He's 4,400. Chris Dunn's been ruled out already. We may even have Markkanen's out again. Yeah. We may even have
Levine.
Zach Levine is questionable. He might not even play. So you're looking at 4,400 for Cameron Payne versus the Cavs, who suck against the point guard, who's going to be playing at least 30 minutes. And if Levine sits, his usage will be even higher. Not that he's a shooter or anything, but he's going to have the ball in his hands. This game looks like 225 over under. They're only projecting the Cavs to win by 6.5.
You know what's hysterical? I saw so many 6-point lines today in the NBA according to Vegas, right? So I think after everything we've seen over, I don't know, the last week or two in the NBA with so much like unpredictable stuff happening, I feel that's Vegas throwing their arms up like, yeah, 6 points. Okay. Yeah, that sounds good. You know, let's go with that. But I don't know. And it's funny because you look at there's a lot of situations like that today where I think, you're going to kill me. Come on, load up, man. You know, I love when you're doing a fantastic show and technology does not want to comprehend here.
Yeah.
But let's see, like the Rockets opened up as 6 points favorites against the Pelicans. You also had the Knicks the Hornets against the Knicks as 6-point favorites. Yeah, the Nuggets against the Grizzlies were a 6-point favorite. So again, that's Vegas just doing a killing a bunch of birds with one stone right there, it seems like. All right, so yeah, I like the Payne thing. I had a thought maybe the Bulls start Jerry and Grant. They have done this in the past. I don't know if they like Payne with the second unit. I'm not really sure, but I think you mentioned this because we talked about it briefly last night, but in any event, Payne should be getting the majority of these minutes, kind of like a Fred VanVleet-esque sort of role.
Absolutely. Just like last night they started Wright, who I played in GPP and did
very
well.
Very nice, very sneaky.
Thank you. And, they both played pretty much the same amount of minutes. You know, Wright did a little bit more in terms of numbers, like 38 versus, I think Van Vliet was 33. But, you know, under 10K and to get over 60 points for those two guys combined, I mean, that was pretty awesome. Another couple guys here that will start to benefit from their teammates being sat or not suiting up. Dennis Smith Jr.
Yes.
He's got, you know, basically nobody left.
Yeah.
You ran off that list of who's sitting there. So it's going to be pretty much him and Yogi Ferrell. Those are the only two guys really left. Is Dirk playing, do you know?
I don't know. I mean, he has played on the back end of back-to-backs this season, so.
But I'm saying he's not, like, announced or anything, right?
I have not seen anything, no.
Okay, so at least they have somebody to pass the ball to. But I do like those two, particularly versus Brooklyn under back-to-back. That might be also decimated here without Crab.
I just want to say, too, by the way, in that Brooklyn-Dallas game, both teams on the back end of a back-to-back, yet Vegas still thinks that there's going to be a decent amount of points scored. That's not the case that we always see with these with both teams on the back end of a back-to-back. Usually Vegas has it, you know, pretty low, but you know, especially for a Dallas Mavs game too. I thought the total was a pretty good one here.
I don't mind it. You know, Dallas, as bad as their record is, they've been competing. You got to kind of give it to them there. Yeah. So those two point guards I'm okay with, and then the other one with Gary Harris being out, you're going to see a higher usage for Jamal Murray as well. You get the luxury of putting him up against Memphis. I don't mind that play at all. And then, let's see. So we brought up Payne, we brought up Yogi. So a little bit of a revenge factor here.
For Yogi?
No.
Well, yeah. That's what
I'm going to talk about. But for Yogi too, yes.
Yes. I remember his brief stint with my Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. So, do you remember earlier in the season, the Suns played the Warriors? Do you remember what happened?
I do. The Warriors decided that they were going to let the players run the coaching for that game.
Correct. And they beat the crap out of them.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And some of the older players were kind of like, yeah, you know, I don't think it's disrespectful. I think we disrespected ourselves by getting beat so bad, blah, blah, blah. But some of the players were like, yeah, I won't forget that. You know, they kind of took it as an act of disrespect.
Right. I kind of like honestly, I thought it was very innovative what the Warriors did. I think it's really cool because especially a team like that who pretty much sleepwalks through the regular season, you know, you have some different motivation factors. I thought it was great. Don't be so public with it. Maybe, like, let Kerr stand there, act like he is doing something, and, right. You know, it's really whoever saying whatever. But, yeah, who the hell knows how you handle it? Because we've never even heard of this situation before. But I do like the innovative mind behind it. I thought that part was cool.
Yeah, I mean, sure, right? But the point is, I think it's more along the lines of how the players took it.
Sure.
And I think they're going to come out. Phoenix didn't play yesterday, right? No, Golden State did.
Yeah.
Phoenix didn't. So they're decimated, man. I mean, they've got Draymond and G Leaguers, and Iguodala. But he played last night. He's not a guy that plays much on back to back. So I like Alfred. I mean, I think Alfred is going to buy into this. We're going to come out and punch these guys in the throat for what they did to us kind of mentality. And, I think that whole game really has a bunch of goodness in it.
If I'm not mistaken, I think that was Elf's first game as a Sun, or one of the first games.
Yeah, yeah.
That last one against the Warriors. So, all right, you brought up a very interesting point. So, Vegas doesn't think too highly of the Warriors in this one. So, again, obviously we know all the injuries that they have, but they're only a 3-point favorite over the Suns tonight. That is insane, right? So, I think your average better. I mean, I think Vegas did a great job. Your average better, especially on St. Paddy's Day, they'll probably be hammered and be like, "What? The Warriors are only 3-point favorites against the Suns. I'm gonna, you know, put my mortgage on this." And yeah, that's certainly not the way to go. And you got that motivation factor. And something else to think about here too: this group of Warriors players that will be playing tonight, not necessarily, you know, they haven't been playing those back-end back-to-back minutes this season. So this is kind of uncharted territory for a lot of these guys, and I could see them being absolute shit on defense tonight.
Yeah, I might even look at the money line on Phoenix.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, all right, so some other ones. I mean, really, those are the ones you should probably stick with. I mean, there are other ones you can look at. You can look at Moutier versus the Hornets. You can look at Dinwiddie, particularly if LeVert sits. His price came down a little bit playing versus that tired Dallas team. You know, he'll have all the usage now with that second unit.
Great matchup too.
It's a great matchup for him. You're going to see a lot of Quinn Cook because of what he did last night. I'll be probably about 20% on Quinn Cook. Even at his price, he did well last night. Yeah. But I mean,
all right. So from the rest of the point guard position, anybody else that we're looking at here today?
Yeah, I mean, you can consider Patty Mills. He's now under 4K. He's got Minnesota, which is always an easy matchup. Good pace game. I don't mind it so much. Again, you've got other. I mean, he's going to play just under 30 minutes. He'll probably be next to not owned at all. I mean, you've got other options there, but I don't mind that play either. And finally, although I don't think this game's on the slate, but it looks like Fanduel finally has Brandon Jennings on.
Nice.
Took him, what, 3 games?
Yeah.
But he's on. Don't mind that. Outside of that, no, I think we should probably move on.
All right, cool. All right, at the shooting guard position today, headlined by my boy Jimmy James Harden. Going up against a Pelicans team today that, you know, we talked about on the last pod that, or the last time that the Pelicans were on a pod that we did, that they are running the fastest pace in the NBA without DeMarcus Cousins in their lineup. Now, yeah. It's funny, too, because Houston, man, they are bringing their pace way down as the season has come along here. So, what are we thinking here? Do we think that Houston slows down the Pelicans, or the Pelicans going to give the Rockets a little kick in the ass here?
You know, I don't see either of these teams really slowing down. I mean, these are the two fastest paced teams in the league. You know, since Boogie went down, even when Boogie was down, they were already relatively quick. They were kind of like in the middle of the field, middle of the pack, if you will. Now they're like, you know, top 5, I think. I don't think so.
Okay.
I think you'd have to play Harden. I don't. In this kind of game with, you know, he'll probably match up somewhat with Drew Holiday, although Drew might, which means that if you're going to not play Harden, you almost have to play Chris Paul. But there's too much in this game to not to play one of the two.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it'll certainly be a fun one. I don't think there's any national TV games tonight, right, because of the tournament?
I don't think there are, no.
All right, yeah, so I don't know. Maybe somebody gets NBA TV or something like that, but not necessarily sure. Look, I've been a huge fan of Nick Batum, you know, over this little stretch that he's been on. He's been incredibly consistent for a while now, taking on a Knicks team that they should beat tonight. Only concern I got with Nick Batum is that Kemba Walker is actually from the Bronx. So these games against the Knicks are a homecoming for him. That my only concern is that, you know, Kemba goes bananas, but the way Batum's been playing lately, you really can't hate on that.
Yeah, by the way, the Spurs Timberwolves NBA TV.
Okay.
You're right, and Kemba is certainly in that kind of spot, but it doesn't really matter so much for Batum because Batum doesn't need to score to put up his points. But at 8K, without Gary Harris, I'd rather pay $2,000 less and go to Barton. Or if I'm going to go up that high, I like Drew. I like Oladipo in this matchup, particularly without Thad Young. I'm probably not going to play Booker no matter what because he really doesn't look right physically. Like something's definitely hurting his hand. So, you know, when you rely on shooting and something's wrong with your hand, that's not very good.
Yes.
So can't really play Booker there, although I'd love to. And then we have an $8,500 Bradley Beal.
Now, again, the same game. Now, you mentioned it too, where with Oladipo without Thad Young. Oladipo possibly without Thad Young and Miles Turner. That would be even more appealing in my opinion. So yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna look up here Sabonis out, and then let's say Thad Young is out, and then let's say Miles Turner is out. With those, am I missing anyone? No. So those guys being out, Oladipo has a 41.3% usage, up from 30.
That's not bad.
I mean, that's above James Harden. That's well above James Harden. And that's a 2,100-minute sample size, so it's not small.
That's even more than Dennis Schroeder.
I mean, that's – yeah. So keep an eye out on those guys. If they're all going to sit, I think I might even have to play Harden and Depot. Just to get that 120 potential from each, or combined.
Now, I don't know if you are like a lot of people, but doesn't it seem like a lot of people have trouble at the shooting guard position? Like, always?
I mean, there's a lot to choose from, man. I mean, you've got Chris Middleton versus the Hawks. I mean, you've got Tyreek Evans versus Denver. You've got Donovan Mitchell versus Sacramento. I mean, you can go all the way down. You got D'Angelo Russell, who's been out of his mind. You got Nick Young, who's going to play 30 minutes versus Phoenix. I mean, there's a lot to choose. You got Jordan Clarkson, who's now going to get more minutes than he usually does. You've got Eric Gordon going into New Orleans, which is always check that history.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Former Pelican.
Yeah, exactly.
And former 3-point contest winner in that arena.
And very true. And then you've got a minimum priced now probably going to start and play starters minutes, J.R. Smith versus Chicago. I mean, you've got one of my favorite sleepers and Kyle Collinsworth from the Mavs, who's going to see a boatload of minutes, who's down there in price. I mean, I could probably legitimately roster 12 shooting guards and not have an issue with one of them.
Yeah, so back to my initial question, or what I was saying before, is that I feel like I've heard the cries from everyone, but it feels like shooting guard is a position that most people struggle, you know, to find those key plays. I don't think you're going to have any struggle with that tonight. I mean, the position is absolutely loaded. There's a lot of different ways that you can go. You mentioned my boy D'Angelo Russell. Now, here's what's interesting is that, you know, yesterday he gets off to the hot start against the Sixers. He does great. Now, doesn't do much in that second rotation, comes out for the second half, can't hit a damn shot. So what happens, because of the matchups, Kenny Atkinson ends up going with LeVert and Dinwiddie so that those guys can match up with Ben Simmons down the stretch. And then D'Angelo, you know, so he didn't get his full complement of minutes. There is really nobody on the Mavs besides Dennis Smith Jr. that they really have to worry about making sure they have a good defender on. So I think in any event, you're going to see Russell play a lot more minutes than he did last night, just because, you know, and again, that factor with LeVert, if they do take it easy on him on the back end of a back-to-back, D'Angelo is going to be that guy that gets the minutes, especially with no Crab. So
right.
I really like going back to D'Angelo here.
And he looks like his old self. Yeah. In terms of, you know, his abilities, as you mentioned, he can dribble now.
He remembered how to dribble.
Yeah, he shook the rust off of the dribbling, so that's there. So yeah, I don't mind it either. I pretty much went through all the other guys there. I think that's kind of where I'm looking.
Do it. Shooting guard. Dribbling, very underrated in basketball.
I think it's overrated.
Very. Another guy that, like, you know, one guy, I guess before we move to small forwards, and mm-hmm. I guess this can kind of be a transition for our DraftKings players, but I don't even know if he is on DraftKings, so I'm acting like I know the site. Tyreek Evans is kind of interesting, and I bring this up because Denver has actually allowed the fourth most fantasy points to point guards over the last month. We know that Tyreek Evans, listed on FanDuel as a shooting guard, is the point guard for the Memphis Grizzlies right now, since they have all these injuries going. So, you know, Denver, not like a ridiculously high spread on this game. So it does look like Memphis could be somewhat competitive.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a fantastic number of options here on the FanDuel side of things for shooting guard. But, you know, Evans just is another guy to mention.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think you can do it one of two ways. You can either go Harden and one of the lower price guys, or you can go two of the mid-tier guys. I think either one will probably net you the same. So,
all right, very cool. All right, let's get to small forwards here. It's headlined by the King. Now the King has a very, very hefty price tag here. 12-7 for him on FanDuel. DraftKings, not sure. Hey, it's a weekend pod, folks. Don't have the prices all in order yet today. But we saw LeBron pretty much do everything for this Cavs team in the last game when they had a ton of injuries. Now they have even more injuries. So I'll pretty much pay whatever for LeBron tonight.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat.
Okay, that was simple.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's impossible not to play him. So.
Yes, indeed. Now, I know a guy that you and I were talking about before the podcast started, John Holland from the Cavs. Now, I mean, you just take a look at what their depth chart looks like, right? Depth Chart Hub, by the way, folks. Make sure you hit that up on the website because a very nice gentleman does all that stuff. but, like, if you take a look at this roster, it's like George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, J.R. Smith, LeBron, Jeff Green, Zizix. I mean, Holland's basically going to be thrown out on the court against his will. Like, he's going to be out there. So yeah. I think he's a decent option if you want to save some money. Now, I know that there are a lot of different ways that you can save money tonight, but, you know, again, it's the Bulls. People, like, guys like Dylan Brooks have great games against the Bulls.
Very true. Very, very true.
So we got that. All right, let's get away from Cleveland from our small forwards. Anybody else that we're looking at here?
Yeah, I actually really like TJ Warren. He's a 6,500. He's finally in a game where he's not playing Utah. Why does it seem like they're playing Utah all season?
I know.
So I don't mind that at all. I think that's actually probably my second to LeBron. I don't like Bielitsa versus the Spurs. They're really good at that position. I really like Josh Jackson. And even more so if Booker is going to sit. But I think either way, Jackson's going to see 30, 35 minutes in this game because they're you know, Golden State is known for their smaller ball. Now, here's the thing. Because Golden State is really left with one player in the NBA player and the rest are all G Leaguers, they are not the same paced team or play the same style that they're used to. They're going to have to play a little bit slower and slow the ball down because they don't have the personnel to attack. I mean, you lose Steph and Clay and KD. I mean, that's a lot of horsepower you released. So, keep that in mind. Bodes well for guys like Warren and Jackson. I don't mind playing them both. If you want to go like Harden and LeBron, Harden and Anthony Davis, and you can't afford LeBron, I'd go Warren and Jackson. I'm perfectly okay with that.
All right. Yep. I dig it. Yeah. And again, look, we talked about how favorable of a spot this is for the Suns. So, again, yeah. If the Suns are going to do well against the Warriors, it's probably going to be these guys. So yeah. We've got that. All right. Bojan Bogdanović becomes a little more interesting if Thad Young and Miles Turner don't play tonight. I think he'll have a much heavier role in the offense. And he plays a Washington team who we had a cup of coffee with after being in Brooklyn for a little bit. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, he did really well. Again, I didn't have all the time in the world to do the research like I do during the week. But if I'm not mistaken, I believe he did pretty well in Washington the last time these two teams faced off.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I don't mind the play at all. I think, again, there's so much to choose from.
I know.
All these spots that you, I mean, there's, you know, I'm not going to say you can't go wrong because you can. But I think you want to look here. You want to look at, probably if you're not going to go LeBron, you want to go in the 6K range, maybe some 5K players. I wouldn't go that much lower than that though. I'd probably go from there.
Here we go. Numbers. Bojan Bogdanović against the Wizards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I had to say it like a robot, but first game, 45 on both sites in 36 and a half minutes. He scores 29 real points against them, 5 3-pointers in that one.
Nice.
2 steals and a block. Second game, this was at Washington, actually 13 days ago, and I could have said 2 weeks and not been a dick about it, but 29 on both sites there in 38 minutes against the Wizards. So,
nice.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty good there for him. I dig it. One of your favorites, Wilson Chandler against the Grizzlies tonight.
Yeah.
Memphis allowing the most fantasy points to small forwards over the last month. Again, no Gary Harris, which means probably more Barton at the 2, a little more Chandler at the 3 there. Also gets his 4 minutes, which Memphis sucks against.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Yeah, no, I like it too. I think it's particularly without Harris, it's a very, very, very strong play.
Indeed, indeed. I really like that combo a lot with LeBron. Well, obviously, I mean, LeBron's a staple, brah. How about Michael Beasley? He did have a great game last time, but doesn't have such a great projection today. Would you say to hell with the computer, or you believe?
I mean, we have to see what's going on with the Knicks injury news. I mean, Is Lance Thomas going to play? Is Tim Hardaway Jr. going to play? You know, who's going to play? Who's going to sit? If we have any of those guys sitting, fire them up. No questions asked. Versus Charlotte, no questions asked. Fire them up.
And the two positions that Bees plays, the small and the power sides of the forward position, these are the two places to attack Charlotte. So I don't understand why it's such a bad projection, but you're absolutely right. An injury or two or a scratch or two, I think, puts Beasley in a much better situation.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
How about this, if you want to get real crazy, right? Like,
okay.
If all the situations align, mm-hmm. is there a way in hell, because these, like, again, if the situations align, it already does for Wilson Chandler, but Wilson Chandler and Michael Beasley at the small forward position, now, on DraftKings, that's a night you could do all three. I think that would be a nice way to go, but is there any scenario where you would not use LeBron tonight?
Yeah, in a scenario where I wanted to get Harden and Anthony Davis.
Okay. All right, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be a lot of scenarios where you can fit them all in there.
You're probably right.
With all the value that popped up today, so.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That's interesting. Another guy, Trevor Ariza. It's interesting. We got the another tale from that you can twist the numbers any way you want side of things. Trevor Ariza against the New Orleans Pelicans. So on our ADVP, we have small forwards as an unfavorable matchup.
Yeah.
But New Orleans has allowed the six most fantasy points to small forwards over the last month. So we've got again, you could look at it any way that you want, but – not a bad spot for Ariza there.
No, I don't mind it at all. I actually like it.
One more guy. Are you all good with small forwards?
If I could be brutally honest, I was already peeking at power forwards. But
all right. Well, we could do another transition because since this guy has been playing power forward too. But Damari Carroll for the Nets again. We're gonna see Crab out, so that's good news for him on the first unit. And yeah. Then one thing that was pretty interesting, I've noticed Damari has been amazing on back end of back-to-backs this season. He's had at least 29 on DraftKings and at least 27 on FanDuel in five of the last seven games in that scenario.
Nice.
So old man don't need no rest here.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely got a lot of game left in him, that's for sure. One guy we should probably talk about just because of the pace of the game, and I think he's been doing a lot better with Tyreek back, is Dylan Brooks.
Okay.
I've always been fond of Dylan Brooks all season
because
he's always been like in the 5K range and he's got 40 potential every game.
A lot of minutes,
yeah, absolutely. Especially with Tyreek out, even more. I think with Tyreek in, it's actually better for him because he can actually get some things done and not have, you know, two of the opposing team's defenders on him.
Yeah.
That's designated for Tyreek. He gets the two teams.
Very true.
So yeah, I don't mind that play at all. And then the last one, I like the potential. I just don't like that his price has gone up. I've been on this guy for a long time, and it's Kelly Oubre. Kelly is the first guy off the bench, and he plays 30 minutes like a starter would, and he gets a lot of shots and a lot of opportunity and a lot very much involved in the offense. So I don't mind Oubre either for the cash games.
All right, cool. Blah, blah, blah. All right. I got nothing left here. Small forward. Let's just head on to power. I mean, the man, the myth, the legend, he's there. Anthony Davis going up against the Houston Rockets tonight. I love this spot for him. Again, we talked about the fast pace of play. Look, the Rockets are, I believe, they're number two in offensive efficiency in the NBA next to the Warriors. But, you know, again, turn the tides around on this slate because of all the injuries, and the Rockets are actually the most efficient team. So, again, I'm sure we're going to see plenty of scoring. AD going to have to go right back and forth with this Rockets team. So, I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to play AD versus Houston. I mean, this pace, this over-under, I mean, everything about it is beautiful. It's supposed to be a close game, under 10 points, 7.5. You know, the implied total for the Pelicans is 109.5, which is like third or fourth lowest, or highest rather. So it's not bad. You like AD in the second, you know, top two highest, but He's AD. I mean, if he doesn't put up 60 versus this team, I don't know what's the
fuck
to say about.
As I like to say, it's just not your day. Like Russell Westbrook last night. You know, I know people were pissed off about it, but it's like, when the hell does he ever really score below 40 fantasy points? Like what, like 3 or 4 times this season?
Yeah.
It just wasn't your day, you know? Yeah. Like, it's the Clippers. He's supposed to go nuts. Like, I'm sorry. You know, I can't put on Russell Westbrook's uniform and go out there and be like, all right, I need 20 fantasy points real quick to make value. It's just not yeah. your day when Russell Westbrook doesn't get 40 fantasy points.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much.
All right. Now, power forward. AD is joined by a lot of favorable positions here. So, number one, we know Phoenix is on the slate. Power forward's always great against them. Dre, I mean, he's in a nice spot. You got Bobby Portis, who is going to be in a nice spot here. Probably not starting, but it could be. And now I know Noah Vonleh is questionable, so he could, you know, find himself in there maybe. And he would find himself in the starting lineup without also Lauri Markkanen, Chris Dunn, and a questionable Zach LaVine. My head's about to explode with Bobby Portis upside.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, if we see those guys don't play, I don't see how you don't play Portis versus Cleveland. I mean, God, it's got 50 written all over it. Really.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know what I didn't realize too? Cleveland, like a bottom five team in rebounding this season.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
I mean, I didn't think they, you know, were like on Dennis Rodman's level or anything like that, but to be bottom five, I did not see that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, those are all fantastic options. If we're not going there, anywhere else?
Yeah. So, I don't. So, a guy I rostered last night in that same tournament that I went with DeLon Wright and did pretty well in was Hollis Jefferson.
Hey.
And as soon as I saw that he was going to go back into the starting lineup, I couldn't. I mean, he put up 45, dude. So
yeah, man.
I was like, yeah, that's my guy. He put up the same that, you know, some of the higher priced guys put up. So he did me pretty well. But against Dallas, I mean, he's probably going to match up with Dirk at some point. And how do you not like that?
Yeah.
You know?
No,
so
no.
I'm good there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hollis Jefferson, one of the top projected players of the entire day today. So that's good. Possibly they look, we got him for 31 minutes tonight, which is fantastic. This is where you want to see this guy at. No Dante Cunningham for the Nets. Alan Crabb being off that first unit kind of helps Jefferson get in the mix a little bit. Well, guess what? Crabb not being in the first unit gets RHJ in the first unit. So how you like them apples?
Right.
We've got that. I like that a lot. Here's an interesting situation. If Marquise Chris, which looks like he could, you know, what you were saying, if he could be out, do to garbage Bender?
No.
Okay. Ever. I just want to make sure. I got to keep you on your toes, Bear.
Ever.
Got to keep you on your toes. I mean, what else?
You know when I'll play him? I'll play him when he's developed into a grown man in like 3 years. Then I'll play him.
I mean, those are harsh words for that guy. Harsh words. So you're basically saying when he gets a gym membership, you'll be on him.
Weight room, baby. Weight room.
Yeah. God. All right. Hey, who else are we looking at the position? I think you got a couple different options here, a Dwight Powell.
That's where I was going. I love Powell here in this matchup.
Okay.
These are the kinds of games where no offense to your team, but against not as good teams. And the Nets have been good.
I'm offended. You're offended.
They've been close. They've been really close in a lot of games. But this is the kind of game that I like to see Dwight Powell. Plus, again, you know, they've got nobody left. So he's going to have to have the ball more because there aren't many players left. Speaking of which, I think I overlooked somebody in the small forwards.
Okay.
Particularly from Dallas, and that's Dougie McBuckets.
Doug.
I like Dougie McBuckets here versus Brooklyn as well. He's we've got him at 30 minutes.
Wow.
He's like 3,600 on FanDuel. So I think he's going to get as much run as he can handle.
All right, cool. I'll be you, Doug. One of my favorite lines in movie history. That ain't over. Millsap against the Grizzlies tonight. Here's what's interesting. 5,800 on DraftKings, 7,000 on FanDuel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big jump, man.
Big differential.
Wow. Yeah, that's going to be hard. I mean, I like it because of Gary Harris not being there, so it's good for him. But I don't like it 7K much. I mean, that's got to be without, like, Jokic. I might pay 7K for Millsap, but... yeah, it's going to be kind of tough considering you've got like Bobby Portis at the same price.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got guys like we just talked about, Dwight Powell at like 48. I mean, it's kind of tough.
Indeed. We've talked about him and his role is decreasing and the production is going along as well. Nikola Mirotic still kind of cheap against the Rockets, might need his offense more. What do you think?
Remember when teams wanted to give up a first round for him?
I remember when a team did.
Yeah. I mean, he's really fallen off. I mean, I watch their games, so I get why, but they're just not giving him the opportunity that you would give a guy that you gave up a first round draft pick and extended him into next year for. So it's hard for, I mean, he gets the minutes. He's in the high 20s, but, You need more offense. He's a tall guy too. He's not small. He can play all because Anthony Davis doesn't want to play the four, the five. So I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing is that, you know, Mirotic, again, it's kind of one of the reasons why I really didn't like Rondo at the beginning of the season. But you know, you got guys in that lineup that really put up some numbers. So. You know, you're sharing the court with Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, Rondo, you know, guys that really get involved in every area of the game. So,
sure.
I mean, that has to hurt him just naturally for the numbers. You know, there's only one basketball out there that someone could score.
Right.
And AD doing a lot of it. So.
Right. Agreed.
All right. Boobadoop. All right. Anybody else? Or we coming down the home stretch?
You might want to look. Oh no, he's too expensive. Never mind. No, that's pretty much all. I don't see anything else I really like.
All right, cool. Let's begin the center position with a staggering number here. Karl Anthony Towns against the San Antonio Spurs. Now, just as the case was yesterday, you get a lot bigger discount on these centers on DraftKings, so you could actually pair two of them together. Karl Anthony Towns against the San Antonio Spurs has averaged, this is an average bear, of 46 fantasy points on both sites over their last six meetings. Jeez. So, yeah, I mean, I think his last performance was the most unfruitful of the bunch. But, yeah, historically, he's done a fantastic job against the Spurs. So that's there. And also there at the top of the food chain, you got Andre Drummond, who has really good numbers against the Blazers. He's averaging 46.5 on DraftKings, 48 on FanDuel per game against the Blazers in his last nine meetings.
Yeah, if I'm picking between those two, factoring in their prices, I'm going to go Drummond. Drummond gets a pretty decent matchup versus Nurkic, and then he'll probably – you know, go at it with some Ed Davis. Between those two guys, I definitely like Drummond because Drummond's not a guy that needs plays ran for him to put up 50 points. I mean, you know, 50 fantasy points. He's a rebounder, shot blocker, and a dunk guy. So bodes really well against Portland. So I probably like him. I don't know that I'll be able to play Gobert because, again, I don't think this game will be at all close. And so if I'm paying over 10K for any spot, I need a better spot than that. And Willie Cauley-Stein is not a pushover either. So both of those situations are not ideal for me. I definitely like Catman. I mean, I looked last night at his history versus Spurs and I was like, whoa, I didn't realize he was that good against them. Plus he's been really on a tear. He struggled at first without Jimmy Butler, the first time Butler was gone, and now the second time around, he's like, you know what, screw this. I'm taking this team on my shoulders, and he's just been beasting. I mean, I actually saw an interview with him recently, and he was like, I made a decision. I'm going to, from here on out, do everything I can to be the best player of all time. I'm like, whoa. Big words there, buddy. But he's going for it. So I definitely have nothing against Cat, even though it's the Spurs. I'm good with it.
And he's a fantastic human being coming from the state of New Jersey. Yeah. One of the great things I think about Karl-Anthony Towns has been, you know, his free throw percentage. I mean, I was listening to a show the other day, and they were talking about Towns being more valuable as a center because, you know, you look at a lot of centers around the league, and they got to come out of the game late because, you know, teams will not necessarily employ the Hakka method. Yes, teams will go to that great extent, but teams will just be a little more physical, sending these guys to the free throws down the line.
Sure.
You know, the T-Wolves don't have that problem with Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, we've seen this at times with Andre Drummond. Yeah, he improved earlier this season at the free throws. But, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he's too big sometimes for the pace. Then Karl-Anthony Towns, you get that safety at the position, knowing that you're probably going to get all these minutes. We know Tibbs already runs his guys out there, you know, until they can't breathe anymore. So, you know, this, I guess that sort of safety combined with the historic greatness in this matchup, I like it a lot.
Yeah, I think, so I'm with you on that. Another guy that is going to go underlooked, who shouldn't, because this matchup for him is fantastic, is Clint Capella. I think people are going to either go down at the bottom for some of the value guys or up at the top to Drummond or Cat. And so I think that puts Capella pretty low owned in a fantastic matchup for him. So he might be my second favorite next to Drummond.
I will say, if I go with Capella, I have to get the bad taste out of my mouth from the last time Capella played the Pelicans. Because I remember that I was huge on Capella that day, and he didn't do shit. But
trust me, he remembers that.
Yeah, but in the first meeting between that, this is why I was so high. In 24 minutes, Capella posted 47.5 on DraftKings, 51.5 on FanDuel via five blocks. But yeah, five blocks there in 24 minutes in that first game.
Yeah, I mean, the five blocks obviously is a huge advantage, but
I was going to say, even 28-8 in 24 minutes. I mean,
yeah, that paced game, those two teams, there's a lot of stats to go around, a lot of rebounds to grab, a lot of shots to block, you know, a lot of dunks, a lot of layups. So yeah, I mean, that's I like to Capella play.
I like it too. All right, here's a guy that both of us have been pretty high on. Nerlens Noel going up against the Nets, and DraftKings, for whatever reason, refuses to up this guy's price. If you've been playing Nerlens Noel on DraftKings the last week or so, you probably love me because, you know, I do nothing but just point out Nerlens Noel DraftKings, Nerlens Noel DraftKings, because he's just like a free square over there. Taking on a Nets team tonight that, no, not good down low at all. Getting a good pace and all that kind of jazz too. You know, Noel has some history against this Nets team from his days with the Sixers. Again, I just think it's a no-brainer at 3,800 on DraftKings. He is 5,100 on FanDuel.
How much on DraftKings?
3,800.
Yeah, just play him, man.
Just do it.
I mean, he's 51 here on FanDuel, so yep. I'm even considering playing him on FanDuel. So that tells you what to do over there on DraftKings. He did play yesterday. He typically hasn't done. I don't think he's played much in back to back, if I'm not mistaken. But again, with this team just not having many players left, they kind of want to see what it is that Noel can do. Still, they want to see how he can play back to back, how his body takes, that kind of thing. So, I mean, I've got Noel in tournaments, man. I'm definitely gonna do that.
All right, sounds good. All right, anybody else here at the center position that we might have overlooked?
Yeah, I think something to consider.
Your boy's on the slate.
My boy?
Your boy.
Which one?
Nikola.
Yeah. I don't hate it. But against Memphis and Marc Gasol, I still don't hate it. But I think I would probably rather go with Drummond here.
All right.
Or even Capella, and maybe Jokic third. I was looking at who was looking at? Oh, so the Warriors played last night, and
yes.
they get a very, very good matchup in a game where I don't mind playing Zaza Pachulia.
Yes. Now, what was the situation last night? Because remember, don't forget, JaVale McGee played really well last week, and then it seemed like this week was Zaza's week.
Yeah.
So I really didn't watch much of that game last night. Who got the better of the job done in the center position?
It was Zaza. I think JaVale played like under 10 minutes yesterday.
Really?
I'll double check that. But yeah,
massive fall off over the week.
Yeah, I mean, and I've been saying it all week, man, that McGee is only playable when the team is maybe down one player. But when they're down all these guys, like, that's not – he needs to be the recipient and a complementary player to get the alley-oops, to get the rebounds, to get the block shots, and let everybody else focus on what they do. Zaza, if you recall, in his younger days, man, he was like the focal point of the offense for the Hawks. When he was playing there, he's got a mid-range game. He can post up. He can do things that obviously JaVale has more physical ability than Zaza does. But when it comes to putting the ball in the hole, which they're going to need to do, I don't mind playing Zaza here at all versus Phoenix at all.
All right. Let's get real crazy here for a second. All right.
Okay.
So we know the Bulls have like a million injuries, and for whatever reason on God's given earth, they run Felicio out there all the time. I don't know why. I think it's so stupid. However, I mean, last two games, 29 minutes, 23 minutes. As I mentioned, Cleveland, not a great rebounding team by any stretch of the imagination. It's not my favorite. I'm just saying the Bulls are missing a lot of people tonight, so maybe he gets in there. I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, he should play some minutes, but I mean, the problem we have with Felicio,
it's Felicio.
He's in there to be a big body, to bang with the opposition's other big bodies. Cleveland doesn't have many of those right now. I mean, it may be Zizic, but what is he going to put 20 minutes again and piss us all off?
I'm still not over it.
Yeah, I'm pretty pissed too, man.
I mean, but, hell, Lowe's had him as his cover guy. I would never be able to get over some shit like that.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's happened before. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, screw you, Tyrone Lee. I mean, he announced him as a starter and then says, never mind, we're not going to play him. All right, really? Thanks. But
guy move.
Yeah, very much so. But no, I don't know if I can play Felicio. Even if he gets 25 minutes, the production's just not there. Again, he's really just there to kind of match up with another big guy and doesn't do much else. So I don't know about that so much.
All right.
If I'm gonna go that low, I might give a shot to your boy Jahlil. Because, again, versus Dallas, back-to-back, might have some guys missing. If I can get a minimum-priced Okafor at 25 minutes versus Dallas, yeah, he could probably make value.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. Now, Okafor played some nice minutes last night against his former Sixers team. I know Atkinson really wanted to get him out there. But, Jared Allen hasn't been playing too much.
Yeah.
He's only maxed out at 22 minutes over the last five games.
Okay.
I don't get it because, you know, he had been playing pretty well up to that point. But
Okafor?
No, Jared Allen.
Oh, okay. It's just an injury. That's all it is.
So, yeah. So it could be an interesting move. But, again, I think I'm pretty set on going to Noel if I'm really going down low. And then I really like a lot of those top-end guys. Don't forget, too, you get Dwight Howard on the slate against the Knicks, who are in free-fall tank mode, so he could put up a pretty monster game tonight. And that's all I got.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, cool. Folks, DFSArmy.com, promo code podcast, gets you 10% off. Have a fun St. Paddy's Day out there as well. We'll be back Monday with the podcast, and that'll do it for me, Bear, and the rest of the DFS Army. We go.
There you go.
Thank you for listening to the DFS Army Podcast. Join the DFS Army today and gain access to our private Slack chat, where you can chat with real DFS pros and coaches, as well as other DFS Army members with winning track records. Also included in your membership is access to our premium articles, DFS Army weighted projections for every sport we offer, from NFL to MMA, weekly player picks and cheat sheets, the strategy vault of timeless concepts, and the DFS Army Domination Station, a truly state-of-the-art lineup optimizer offering your personal projections or ours. The DFS Army membership is the best value across the industry. Join today and get two free ebooks, as well as the secrets to unlocking a new level to your game.